He was still sitting with his elbow upon his knee, considering how he should broach the matter to his daughter, when a soft hand was laid upon his, and looking up he saw her standing beside him. One glance at her pale, frightened face showed him that she had heard what had passed.
"I could not help it," she said, in answer to his look. "His voice rang through the house. Oh, father, father, what shall we do?"
"Don't you scare yourself," he answered, drawing her to him, and passing his broad, rough hand caressingly over her chestnut hair. "We'll fix it up somehow or another. You don't find your fancy kind of lessening for this chap, do you?" A sob and a squeeze of his hand was her only answer. "No, of course not. I shouldn't care to hear you say you did. He's a likely lad, and he's a Christian, which is more than these folk here, in spite of all their praying and preaching. There's a party starting for Nevada tomorrow. I'll manage to send him a message letting him know the hole we're in. If I know anything of that young man, he'll be back here with a speed that would whip electrotelegraphs." Lucy laughed through her tears at her father's description.
"When he comes, he will advise us for the best. But it is for you that I am frightened, dear. One hears such dreadful stories about those who oppose the prophet. Something terrible always happens to them."
"But we haven't opposed him yet," her father answered. "It will be time to look out for squalls when we do. We have a clear month before us, and at the end of that, I guess we had best shin out of Utah."
"Leave Utah?"
"That's about the size of it."
"But the farm?"
"We will raise as much as we can in money and let the rest go. To tell the truth, Lucy, it isn't the first time I've thought of doing it. I don't care about knuckling under to any man as these folk do to their darned prophet. I'm a free-born American, and it's all new to me. I guess I'm too old to learn. If he comes browsing about this farm, he might chance to run up against a charge of buckshot traveling in the opposite direction."
"But they won't let us leave,"
his daughter objected. "Wait till Jefferson comes, and we'll soon manage that. In the meantime, don't you fret yourself, my dearie, and don't get your eyes swelled up, else he'll be walking into me when he sees you. There's nothing to be afeard about, and there's no danger at all." John Ferrier uttered these consoling remarks in a very confident tone, but she could not help observing that he paid unusual care to the fastening of the doors that night, and that he carefully cleaned and loaded the rusty old shotgun which hung upon the wall of his bedroom.